John chapter 1, page 1114 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading responsively the first 14 verses of this chapter. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, reading the verses responsively, please. And may we stand for the reading of God's Word. The text verse is that second verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld its glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray.
Passage, it says, the same was in the beginning with God. The beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, that little word same, the same, was in the beginning with God. Our Lord is called the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, I'm only human. I'm only human. We love to justify our failures, our weaknesses, and sometimes we even love to justify our sins behind the facade of I'm only human. I'm sure that you men have worked hard all day many times. You come home after a hard day's work, and your wife said, I want you to mow the yard. You said, mow it yourself. And then you didn't see her for several days. After 3 days, you could see her a little bit out of the corner of one eye. You said, mow it yourself. And she said, look, yard's got to mow tomorrow's Christmas. And you said, look, I didn't mean that to be funny. That's funnier than the other one, isn't it? I'm going to just quit trying to be funny and stumble on them. I'd do better. But you say, look, I worked hard all day. I'm tired. I didn't get my sleep last night. I'm only human. And and then Christmas afternoon, she says to you, I'm helping with the dishes. You say, do the dishes yourself. And then you don't see her for 3 more days. She says, look, I'm only human. I'm only human. That's not a good excuse. I'm only human. I want to talk about that this morning. Father, bless the message to our hearts in a special way. Amen. There are so many misconceptions about Christmas. This is not a Christmas sermon. But there's so many misconceptions about Christmas. And one of these is held by most Christian people. They're not because they choose to not believe the truth, because they've never heard the truth. And I'm going to give you an elaboration this morning of a truth that we have occasionally visited on Wednesday night. And that truth is this, that Jesus did not become human in Bethlehem. He became flesh in Bethlehem, but did not become human in Bethlehem. We Baptists believe in what we call the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct personalities in one Godhead. no way to explain it, no way at all. But there are, and always have been, three distinctive personalities. The Bible speaks about the eternal Father. That means He always was, and He always will be. The Bible speaks about the eternal Spirit. That means He always was, and He always will be. The Bible speaks about the eternal Son. That means He always was, and He always will be. All three personalities in one Godhead, all three eternal. Never was a time when there was no Father. Never was a time when there was no Holy Spirit. Never was a time when there was no Jesus. I love Christmas, but I don't like for the liberals to share it with us. I don't like the folks that don't believe in the virgin birth, the entering into our blessed time of the year. They have no right to celebrate Christmas. It's not a baby in a manger. It's the eternal, pre-existent Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. You might behold His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What I want to say is this. Jesus did not become human at Bethlehem. Now listen carefully. Jesus did not become human in Bethlehem. He became flesh in Bethlehem. Jesus always was possessed with the human nature. Let me say it again. Jesus, the second listed person, the Godhead, was always possessed with the human nature. Are you saying, Brother House, you mean that Jesus was like we are? No, we were made like He was. You said, you mean that Jesus was like us, like Adam? No, Adam was made like Him. You see, Jesus always was and had a human nature. Now, don't you say I believe that Jesus is not the Son of God. He is the very God of gods incarnate. But a portion of the Godhead from eternity was possessed with a nature like the nature of humanity. And there always was a second person in the Godhead who was humanity and God in the same personality. Human nature did not begin with Adam. It existed forever in the eternal Christ. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same, what? Yesterday and today and forever. Now then, that means that whatever He was in 33 years on earth, He was before. Jesus Christ, He was flesh on earth, but in His personality, in His nature, He was humanity. He is humanity, He was humanity, and He shall always be humanity. I didn't say, you see, we equate humanity with flesh and blood. Not so. The human personality was possessed by Jesus, always, and always shall be possessed by Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and man. Now, that's not talking about when He's on earth. There is now one God, and there is one mediator between God and man. Who is that mediator between God and man? The man, Christ Jesus. So Jesus is still human now. Not flesh, but human. Not flesh and blood. Well, He's flesh. Not flesh and blood, but human. Not human in the sense of being flesh like we're flesh and blood like we have blood, but His personality, His makeup is that of a human. Don't you recall that the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image. What does that mean? That means that whatever man was made like, he was made in the image of God. And the humanity of man came from the humanity of Jesus, which always was humanity. You know, we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised at how human-like God is. I mean, God grieves. Why? Well, man grieves. Why? Man's made in the image of God, and God grieves. Man rejoices. Why? Because man was made in the image of God, and God rejoices. Man can have his man can be wounded a little bit emotionally. But that I mean, man can be saddened. Why? Because man was made in the image of God, and God can be saddened. Man can be excited. Why? Because man was made in the image of God, and God is excited. Man can be, and I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it, man can be maneuvered. Why? Because man was made in the image of God, and God can be maneuvered. You check sometime, read all the prayers of the Old Testament, and you find out how, I've said this so often in our Bible studies on prayer, but you find out how that the Old Testament saints, they knew God so well, they maneuvered with God. Why then? They all started off. They said, Thou the great God of Jacob, Thou the God of the creation, Thou the God that made the stars, and the Lord God in heaven. I think he said, That's me. Ha, ha, ha. That's me. Well, you say, how do you know God's that way? Because if I made stars, that's the way I'd be. Well, you say, for the house, is that sinful? Oh, no, not sinful. No, Jesus was not sinful. But Jesus always was humanity, and because he was humanity, he and the Father enjoyed fellowship. Are you listening? Enjoyed fellowship with each other, and that's how you and I got here in the first place. God, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And that little term, the Word was with God, means the Word was toward God. It means that Jesus and the Father had blessed fellowship. Didn't he say, I am the Alpha and Omega? What does it mean? That means he always was what he is now, always will be what he is now. I am. Didn't say I was the Alpha or I will be the Omega. I am now, presently, the Alpha and Omega. I am now what I was in the beginning. I am now what I'll be in the ending. And if you'll let me, if you'll follow me a little bit, what I'll be in the ending is what I was in the beginning, and what I was in the beginning is what I'll be in the ending. I want you to know there is no, Bible says, all, every good gift, every perfect gift come down the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness. Now, wait a minute. No variableness. No variableness in the Godhead. Gee, what Jesus is now, he always was. What he is now, he always will be. And today, he is the man, Christ Jesus. Now, no, I didn't say weak flesh. No. No, the personality of man is the personality of Jesus, the human nature, not the flesh, but the human nature of man is the nature of Christ, is now, will be always, and always was. That's what it means when it says, the same was in the beginning with God. The same. See, the same one now was in the beginning with God. Now, God wanted to have a race like his Son. God the Father and God the Son, though he's not called the Son in the Old Testament, we'll call him the Son for sake of understanding. God the Father and God the Son enjoyed each other, Brother John. They enjoyed each other. And you're going to be God the Son. And the Word, in the beginning was the Word. Now that's you. You're Jesus. Is that a new suit?
No, sir.
Did you get the old one clean? And you take a bath. Something's different about you, John. And you're the Son, and I'm the Father. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God. That means the Son and the Father were toward each other. Jesus prayed in the 17th of John. He said, Restore unto me the joy which I had with thee before the world was. Ah, what blessed fellowship that the Son and the Father had. And then one day the Father said, Son, we've enjoyed each other all these millenniums and through eternity. Son, I am going to make a whole bunch of people just like you because I've enjoyed that. Thank you. And so God decides to make a whole race of people like Jesus, and God makes a bunch of Jesuses. Now, don't you leave here and say, well, the house is liberal. I'm not one liberal bone in my body. I believe that Jesus Christ is the preexistent Son of God, the very God of gods, and King of kings, and I believe in the virgin birth and the sinless life and the vicarious death, but I believe what the Bible says when it says Jesus never changes. And the personality, listen now, the personality that inhabited that tent of flesh is the same personality that he had in eternity and will have in eternity future. Now, what I say? I'm saying that when God made us, he had in mind our being like Jesus. That's what he had in mind. God had in mind. Did they still cut out paper dolls? They still do that? My mom was the best paper doll cutter in the whole world, boy. I tell you, on Christmas, she could cut out Santa Claus paper dolls, and mom was a champion paper doll cutter. And she'd take one little piece of paper and fold it several times and bring out a whole bunch of little guys holding hands with each other. It bothers me when guys hold hands with each other. But a bunch of little guys holding hands. And did you know that's exactly what God the Father had in mind? God the Father said, I love my son. I love the fellowship we've had. And God said, I am going to make a whole race of people like Jesus. So I'm in a fellowship with millions and millions of people. That means my love, poor and feeble, that licks the dust and wraps itself around rubbish, is capable of being like the love that Jesus had. That means that my forgiveness, so tainted and depraved, is capable of being like that Jesus had on Calvary when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. You see, you say, preacher, but I'm only human. So was he. And what his humanity was, is what God had in mind when God made you and made me. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with not being what God meant for me to be. I mean, God had in mind that I be like Jesus. And if God made me in the image and a replica of Jesus so that God, listen now, so that God could enjoy me in the present like he enjoyed Jesus in the past, I'm not satisfied with God not getting out of me what he had in mind when he made me. And so what happened is this. God made Jesus. I'm sorry, made man. Made Jesus. And Jesus was human. And then God made a race. And that race was human like Jesus was human. And in due time, this man type, Jesus, was copied and incorporated as a race. Now that copy of Jesus sinned, and man fell. Then Christ, who is what he was forever, get this, I said Christ, who is what he was forever, came and brought the pattern from which we were made, set it beside the degenerate copy to show us what we were meant to be. Jesus came to save sinners, yes. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, said the apostle. That's true. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Those words came from the lips of our own Savior, and that's true. That's the primary reason why Jesus came, but a giant second reason why Jesus came was to take the pattern from which we were made and put that pattern beside the fallen copy to show the copy what we were meant to be in the first place. And I don't know about you, but I get weary of Christian people being satisfied with saying, I'm just human. Well, bless God, if you're just human, you can be like Jesus. Because he was human. Now, if you mean by that I'm flesh, then that's not it, because Jesus is not flesh and blood. He's flesh in heaven, but not flesh and blood. He's flesh and bone. He said, touch me. He said, I'm not a spirit. He said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. And so he's flesh and bone. But he's not our kind of flesh. But the human nature of Jesus always has been, always will be, like your human nature now. I'll make this very plain. That means that you have in your breast the capacity on at any given time to love exactly like he loved. You say, hold it, preacher, now I'm still flesh. I'm still flesh. I know. And that means that you're not always going to love like he loved. Hear me carefully. You won't always love like he loved. But at any given time, there is available and within your reach the genuine love that was in the bosom of the Savior, because you are human. And he was human in his personality. And you were meant to be a replica of him. And through his Holy Spirit, you may at any given time possess the love of Christ in your soul. I've heard Dr. John say many times. many times. Now, John said, you can't always be perfect because we're not perfect. But he said, there is availability so you won't have to sin at any particular time you want that that's available. Now, you listen to me. The humanity of Christ was not a makeshift emergency caused by a surprise God over the sudden fall of a man. God didn't look down one day and say, I'll declare, I'll tell you that shocks a fire out of me, man, saying, no! I'll go a step further. Did you know that the atonement of Christ, and this is, you have to listen to get this now, but the atonement of Christ and the vicarious death of Christ was always a part of his personality. Christ didn't give himself on Calvary. Christ's personality gave itself. The vicarious death of Christ is still reality. Jesus didn't die just at one, though he did die at Calvary. That was only a picture of the giving of his life. The Bible said he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, somebody said, Brother Hyam. Brother Hiles, don't you think it's awful hard for God the Father to see His Son on the cross bearing our sin? Yes, it was, but not any harder than it is today. Because the great heart of God the Father still possesses the God the Son and the triune God, and that God the Son is still the God that gives Himself. Now, you say, Brother Hiles, His nature is like ours? No, our nature is like His. I say again, the humanity of Christ was not a makeshift emergency caused by a surprise God. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Now I see what I was meant to be. Look at me. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Hark, the herald angels sing, O little town of Bethlehem, joy to the world, O come all ye faithful, the first Noel. What's all that about? It's not a Savior coming to die for us, but more than that. It is Jesus coming to the fallen copy to say, this is what you're meant to be, and this is what on any given occasion you can be. You know, there are many things I hate. But I guess the thing I hate the most, I hate to fail. I hate more than anything in the world to fail. I hate to lose. I really do. That's why I'm going to leave Chicago someday. I'm tired of the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bulls and the Bears. I'm going to move someday to New York City, where Steinbrenner is. But I hate to lose. And especially do I hate to lose myself. And I'd rather not play than lose. I'm like the little guy that had the list of names on a piece of paper. The old broad-shouldered kid walked up. What's that list? He said, it's a list of all the guys I can whip. He said, let me see that list. He looked at it and he said, my name's on that list. You can't whip me. Well, I'll scratch your name off of it then. And I'm that way. I tell you, I hate to lose. I hate to fail. Now look at me, folks. Look. There are folks in this room that if you got beat in a game, it'd kill you. Well, I can recall John Rice. John Rice played dominoes. I can recall John Rice one time on board a ship. Mrs. Rice beat him in dominoes. He didn't say anything. I mean, there are several of us around the table. Dr. Rice didn't say anything. He just picked up the dominoes, put them in the box. Didn't tell Miss Rice he was going back to the room. Didn't say goodbye. He just put the dominoes in the box and went back to his room. Man, I like that. I like that. But a lot of folks say, boy, I sure can understand that. How many of you like that? Well, you hate to lose. Come on, hate to lose. Come on, all you winners. Come on. Okay. But you know, it's strange to me. You don't mind losing on what your purpose in life was, do you? You hate to lose a domino game or a checker game or a handball game or a racquetball game or a tennis match or a golf game. I taught David to be that way. Many of you folks, old-timers, heard me tell this. I used to play golf. I quit the game because they wouldn't mow the grass where I played. But years ago I used to play golf in Texas. I played at 5 o'clock every Monday morning. Got through by 9, got in the office by 9 o'clock. But I haven't played golf in 15, 16 years now. When I came to Hammond, Jim Lyons, with me and Jim and I used to play golf together. And Jim never beat me. Never beat me. We played together, I guess, good night, hundreds of times. He never one time beat me. One time I took Dave with us to put to the golf game. Went out here to this this place other side of T-Bowls, other side of 30. What's that little golf course? Lake Hills. And Jim beat the fire out of me. We're on the last hole, and Jim was 6 strokes ahead of me. And Dave was crying. Dave was about 7. He was crying. Literally crying. Now, Jim had one little hole, about a 6-inch putt, to beat him with 6 strokes. And Dave was over there just crying. Jim lined up, hit that putt. Everything was quiet. He pulled his club back, started his swing, and Dave went, "Woo!" And scared Jim. He hit the ball, went over in a sand trap, and took about 7 strokes to get out, and I beat him. And I said, "Thank you, Doc." We practiced that before it started. But I'm saying, I hate to lose. But you know, I'm talking to folks all over this room hate to lose. Except the truth is, you don't mind losing when it comes to this. He was on the cross. His back was beaten beyond recognition. A crown of thorns was on his head. Nails to his hands and feet. Nailed to a cross. Stripped naked before man. Not even recognizable as being human because his body was beaten to such a pulp. And the very soldiers who drove the nails in his hands and feet and pulled the crown of thorns on his brow and beat his back beyond recognition, they heard him say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And that kind of forgiveness is exactly what's available for everybody in this room. I'm sick of grudges. And God is too. He said, "I'm just human." Well, you don't have to. If you're human, then you can be. Jesus was human. He had no grudges. "I don't like it. I'll get him back." That's a silly thing. Listen, within your grasp this morning is what God made you to be, and God made you to be like Jesus. And if you do not bless those that curse you, love those that hate you, pray for those that despitefully use you, then you're a failure. God made you to be another Jesus. And Jesus was in human personality. I don't know how you big old broad-shouldered men, muscle-bound, big bicep. I don't know how in the world you can be such poor losers, and yet the truth is, sat there this morning, got bitterness in your heart towards somebody, and you're a failure. I said, "You're a failure." I said, "You're a failure." Why? Because the eternal Christ was humanity. Not flesh, but humanity. And every quality he possessed, God made you to possess. The error is human. To forgive, divine. That's the biggest lie you ever said in your life. No, sir. If to forgive is divine, not a one of us could ever forgive. To forgive is human. In the humanity that God intended for us to enjoy. And I'm not preaching heresy. I'm preaching the truth that fundamentalists have believed through these years. The man Christ Jesus forgave. Wasn't God that forgot the Father that forgave. The man, the human Christ Jesus forgave. You will never fulfill the purpose for your existence on this earth. Oh, God, pity this piddling, penury kind of Christianity we have. He didn't like me out like him. He cheated me out of some money, and boy, I'll never speak to him. There is something so much bigger than that. You will not in this world be a success in life if you overcome that kind of pitiless. He's just been to the upper room. The one who carried his money bag is about to come and place the kiss of betrayal upon his brow. The one who'd chosen as one of the 12, is about to come to place the kiss of betrayal upon his brow. And now in the darkness of the night, while he was on the Mount of Olives, Judas approaches our Lord, and what does our Lord say to him? "Enemy?"
friend.
Those who crucified him, he forgave. And he who betrayed him, he said to him, friend.
Now, I'm tired of people saying, well, I'm just human. And I'm tired of that thing about the err is human. Forgive is divine. The truth is, there is a humanity that God intended for you to possess. That can say a friend, say the word friend. And I mean, listen, I mean this. There's not a person that walks the face of this earth whom I could not say friend. Now, I have not arrived in many areas, and I've not arrived in any area, but blessed be God, I'm as human as you are. And I'm wounded sometimes, and I get lonely like you do, and I get sad like you do, and I sometimes feel betrayed like you do. And I don't think our Lord Jesus was rejoicing there when Judas betrayed him. I think his heart was breaking in too. But I want to serve notice to you, there is a way that while your heart is breaking, and disappointment fills your soul, and your breast is bursting, in your heart and your breast is bursting, there's a way that you can say, friend, because he who said it as human. The soldier pulled out his sword and took dead aim at the. Peter took out his sword and took dead aim at the soldier's head. The soldier ducked in the ear of him who was about to take our Lord to the tribe. Was severed, and our Lord reached down and took that ear and placed it back upon the head of that soldier. And I'm a little tired of folks thinking that's not available for us. It's available. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it was somebody with a human personality and human makeup and human disposition that God enjoyed fellowship with the eternity, God the Father enjoyed, and it is that type person God wanted to fellowship with in by multitudes. And that's available for you and me in the upper room. He girded himself, bowed to wash the feet of one who was about to betray him, the feet of one who was about to deny him, the feet of one who was about to doubt him. And there's a way you can do it. Oh, yes, he came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But he also came to show us what we were meant to be, and to a degree, what we still could be. I know I have the old nature, but I also have the new nature. And that new nature is a divine-human nature. It is God-man nature. Always was the God-man nature. Always will be the God-man nature. And I have it. Now, I realize that you and I will never be perfect like Jesus. But for us to be satisfied because we can't be certainly irritates me. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. Somebody said to old Dr. H.C. Morrison, the old missionary, he's a holiness missionary, used to edit a holiness newspaper. But he said to old Dr. Morrison, Dr. Morrison, you got where you can't sin yet? And Dr. Morrison said, the tyranny is I know, but I've got to where I can't enjoy it anymore. Amen. And I haven't gotten yet to where I'm like him. But I've gotten to where I don't like it because I'm not. And I'm not going to hate like the heathen world hates and say, I'm just human. And I'm not going to hold grudges like the world holds grudges and say, I'm just human. I'm going to try and try and try. As Cindy used to say, standing on the hearth of the fireplace, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him. She got the words mixed up as she sang. All through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask to be like him. And when you realize that Jesus came to save sinners 2,000 years ago,
You realize he came to seek and to save the lost 2,000 years ago. Would you also realize that he came to place the pattern beside the fallen copy in order to remind us, as degenerate copies, what we could be, what we were meant to be, and what by his grace we ought to try to be. And to that, whatever extent and to whatever degree you pattern or patterned after the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the kindness of Christ, the compassion of Christ, to whatever extent you're patterned after that, to that same degree, you fulfill the purpose for your creation. And your God enjoys, to that same extent, your fellowship that he made you to offer himself. Father, bless the message.